You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Well, tonight, the beautiful Monday evening, the night, the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Tonight is the 1st of Dhul Qa'dah 1441, which is also the 23rd of June 2020. Our Zakat Nisab, it is 6,400 Rand. Mehre Fatimi, 16,000 Rand. Minimum Mahar for Hanafis, it is 320 Rand. For Malikis, is 80 Rand. For Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum Mahar. Our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. That is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let me say it again. +27 84 786 3132. Our beloved Ustad's email address is akhussein@gmail.com. That is akhussein@gmail.com. Our beloved Ustad's website is muftiakhussein.net. That is muftiakhussein.net. Our beloved Ustad's Twitter account is @akhussein. That is AK Hussein. I want to welcome all the beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Al-Ansar International, of course, of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, and of course, the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and company. Before we cross over to our beloved Fadilatul Ustad, let's welcome our two engineers, Brother Lakolo and the engineers in the Durban studios. Ustad, a beautiful night, a beautiful cold evening. I see you brought for some beautiful chai. Let's welcome you into the program, Ustad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Jee, Ustad. I see the listener says here tonight the moon has been sighted, Ustad. They want to know what are the virtues of Dhul Qa'dah and what can we do in this month, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, after Maghrib Salat, my wife and myself looked at the horizon, and the moon was smiling there, the new moon, the crescent, and we read the three du'as. And which are the three du'as? Let me read it, and in tomorrow's nasiha, inshallah, you can memorize it as well. Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, make this month of Zulqada a month of khair, goodness, wa Rushdin and righteousness. Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin, mentioned in Abu Dawood. In Tirmidhi Sharif, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma hillahu alayna bil amni wal iman, wa salamati wal islami wa tawfiq, lima tuhibbu wa tarda, rabbi wa rabbu. Oh Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, you were, you are, you always will be the biggest, greatest, mightiest. Let this new moon and crescent loom upon us with safety, security, protection of our Iman and Islam. Grant us tawfiq, the ability, capacity, capability to do those actions that are beloved to you and you are pleased with it, Ya Allah. You are the sustainer, nourisher of ours and the celestial creation. This is authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu is buried right next to Aqsa al-Mubarak. He reported Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the new lunar month starts, read Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra hadha shahr. Ya Allah, I ask of you the best of this month. So the hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Yes, what are the virtues of this month? Surah 9 verse 36. Almighty Allah speaks of the Islamic lunar calendar. There are 12 months, lunar months. وَأَرْمِنَهَا أَرْبَاتٌ حُرُمْ. Four are sacred. What are the four? The Quran Sharif is silent. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi sallam said, Salatun mutawaliyat, the month of Zulqa'dah, then Zulhijjah and Muharram, and the month of Rajab. So the people, even in the pre-Islamic days, knew that there was automatic ceasefire, no combat, no fighting. Zulqa'dah, the month of sitting, the people would go for the journey towards Hajj. That time was not jump in the plane and reach there in 8, 10, 12, 15 hours. 1 month's journey, walking by camel, horse, donkey, whatever. And thereafter, Zulhijjah, the month of Hajj. And then the returning, Qudumul Hujjaj, Hajj is returning in the month of Muharram. Rajab, during the course of the year, they want to perform Umrah. So remember, they don't have to fear the highway robbers and hijackers, because they know it's safe passage to go to Baytullah. So great, great virtues of this month of Zulqa'dah.
Somebody says, Ya Ustad, that can we make our Qurbani, Ustad, in overseas? And Ustad, due to the COVID-19, we were told that we all can't slaughter together, Ustad. Is this true, Ustad?
Remember that I'm not sure about those rulings and all that. That we must ask the lawyers, the legal eagles. And you know, maybe now, 1st of July, again, there will be new guidelines and the lockdown might change and so forth. So we mustn't jump the gun. We still got more than a month. So that issue, just leave it and inshallah, things will change for the better. Second one is this, that making Qurbani overseas, yeah, we should know that our three different issues. Issue number one is this. First and foremost, that making Qurbani in your hometown, there by your house, by your garage, or wherever it is permissible, the government allows, whichever country you are. So that is the best, to do it in your hometown, home city. The dalil and evidence for that is Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam told his beloved daughter Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, "Qumi fashhadi." Oh, my beloved ladli, my beloved daughter Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, you stand there and witness your animal and so forth. So it shows that that is the best of the best. Open Musnad Ahmad and so forth, you will find this type of ahad. Second one is this, we all know the cost factor. Sometime it goes to 2,000, 2,500, 3,000, 4,000, depending on the quality of the animal and so forth. So if you want to slaughter in Malawi, for example, 800 rand, 1,000 rand, maybe even cheaper, so that will be permissible. We don't say it's not permissible, it's permissible. But remember that, the third point I want to make. Today you get many, many, you must remember, operators, fly-by-night operators, and so many in the past we went through and saw some of them, that how they took the pull the wool over the ummah's eyes, and until they got exposed and so forth. So you must remember that, never send money with any person, whether it is for Syria or Yemen or Qurbani or any organization, until and unless you are 100% sure. They will slaughter 50, 100, take 50, the cameras, the videos, and say, see, here's your animal. But they collected for 500, they collected for 200. How you know which one is yours? So all these are gimmicks. So therefore, my advice to you, you know, one is fatwa. So fatwa is that yes, it's permissible to make Qurbani, Udhiyah in foreign countries. Iftar is fatwa. And irshad is advice. So my advice to you is this. If you know people who are in Malawi, for example, and really reliable, so mashallah, you deal with them directly. If you know in certain country that people are really needy, so mashallah, that you deal with them. But these organizations, I'm not saying all, but I'll say many, remember, they're totally unreliable, and you must not give them, because today all these type of things are becoming a money-making racket.
Somebody says, Ustad, that my father swears me daily, Ustad, as I am back home due to divorce. He performs his 5 daily salah. What should I do?
Your father, with due respect to him, has not even understood the rudiments and the basics of Islam. He thought Islam is only hukukullah. If you break down Islam, you must remember, you will know percentage-wise, 66 to 70%, two-thirds or more, is hukukul-ibad. And the 30-33%, that is hukukullah. So he's very good up to date with Salat, maybe fasting, tahajjud, so that's very good. But when it comes to his hukukul ibad, nice interaction with you, the daughter who's divorced, or with his wife, or with his neighbors, or with his clientele, or whatever, so you must remember, seems to be very, very bad. Now let us take this as a case study, that you came back. And there must be a reason, your husband was cheating or drugs or whatever else it is. So you said it's not your fault. I got the whole message there, I saw it. So anyway, you must remember that. So in a case like that, what will happen is this, that your father must be told that in Islam, when a daughter comes back home, and the best charity for you, the father, is what you spend on your daughter after her divorce. Now, because your marriage did not work out, he's feeling that his reputation, honor, dignity is tarnished, and therefore he's swearing you, cursing you, threatening you, all these type of things. Totally haram it is. No woman wants to come back, but circumstances are such nowadays that as a last resort, sometimes they go back home. So you, the parent, you should be there to support that daughter, and whatever you spend on her, on her children, it's after all your daughter and your grandchildren. So that is khairu sadaqah. Open Mishkat Sharif, you will find it there. But today's parents, many of them think Islam is only namaz, roza, zakat, so forth. And our interaction with people, remember, leaves a lot to be desired. You must tell your mother or some senior member in your family, yes, he's reading 5 times salat, but he's not reading that 5 daily salat as he ought to be reading it. If he was reading it, he's just going up, down, kiss the ground and back to town, you know. So if he was performing that Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha salat properly, daily, like regularly, and reading it in the manner he's supposed to read, then the Quran, Sharia's promise is, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Verily, salat prohibits a person from all obscenities, indecency, and munkar, all forms of injustice. Surah 29, Surah An-Kabut, the spider, verse 45. So therefore, what he's doing is absolutely haram, and he needs to improve the quantity, quality of his salat, and change his whole behavior towards you. It must not happen because of he is making zulm upon you, all his salat will also be rejected, Allah forbid.
So Ustad, what happened here? We want to get married, but the lockdown is delaying us, Ustad. What should we do?
So get married immediately, mashallah. In 2 days ago, 3 days ago, my one cousin came down from Durban, he flew down here to Johannesburg. Today my one student left from here and he went to Cape Town. So mashallah, the local domestic flights are moving around. So if you have the means and all that, so fly and get married quick. And if you don't have the means, then you get the permit, mashallah. And you say you're getting married, then they'll give you the permit. But what you want to do, maybe you want the big doom dam nikah, you know. What 50 people? We want 500 people. So when your intention is all there just to show off, man samma asamma Allahu bihi, when people's intention is just to impress and show off, Allah Ta'ala disgraces you. I know of so many incidents. We told the people, have a simple nikah. See, there's Maulvis just talk, give us stories. And they went to 5-star hotel and us and all these type of things. And after 3 months, 6 months, daughter back, and then they'll come and tell us, yes, what you said is right. So sister, you and that boy there, you get married quickly. In this week, you get married. It's already Zulqa'dah now. So, because what are you all doing? Whole day you're sending messages to one another on the WhatsApp. You're talking with one another on the phone. All this is a haram activity. And the parents are also complicit in this crime because they are turning a blind eye. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْأُدْوَانِ And do not cooperate in vices and sins. So therefore, get married immediately. And if you don't want to go by plane, you don't want to go by car, so remember, still there's a third option also. And what is that? You stay in Durban, the other party in Johannesburg, Cape Town, wherever. So you appoint a wakil. Let's say the boy is in Durban and the girl is here in Johannesburg. So you know somebody here in Johannesburg, you appoint that person as your wakil representative, and he will go And then the Maulana Imam will say, okay, you are the one representing that person. He can verify it, everything. And thereafter, there are two witnesses. The girl is happy. The girl's father gave permission. So the nikah is performed then easily. So there are so many options. But the intention is we have ulterior motive and hidden agenda. We want, it must be a tip-top nikah, 5-star, just to show off, that's all. So remember, all that is haram activities, brother. Justice delayed is justice denied.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustaz, let's talk about Islamophobia. There is so much happening throughout the world. What should we do, Ustaz, as Muslims?
Remember, the biggest mistake Muslim individuals, Muslim governments, Muslim organizations are making is this. Instead of we becoming mu'assir, we are becoming muta'assir. What it means, we supposed to have an influence on the life of people and nations. But instead of we influencing them, you will see that today's Muslim, he himself, she herself is already impacted and influenced by the West. You ask a normal Muslim male, female, what you want, they will say West is the best. They will say, you must remember that white is right. They suffer from the inferiority complex. So once you have that mentality, so the war is already lost. And you're already on the back foot. So what we need to do is, we need to ensure we understand what Islam is all about. Our foundation, our aqidah, our creed, our belief. Second one is this, that say Islam is the best and not remember East and West. La sharqiyatu wa la gharbiyah. There's nothing better than Islam. Go read Surah Nur, chapter 24, verse 35. Allah says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. And this nur and radiance and effulgence of Allah has to spread in all parts of the world, not only in the East and in the West, all parts of the world. So the Muslim who becomes the true ambassador. So how can we change the status quo? We change the status quo with showing our true Islamic qualities. So how? That our business, there's no interest and so forth, and we are honest. In our marriages, we do our Islamic way. Inna a'adaman nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una. That the most full baraka and baraka blessing nikah is that one where the least expenditure is incurred. So everything of Islam, tell them, juxtapose it, compare it with what you have. You see in the mornings how the non-Muslims, they contact us. What about this? What about this? So simple strategy is, you say, fine. Let us be fair, remove all the jaundiced eyes and blinkers and prejudice, and let us compare bananas with bananas, apples with apples, and you will see always Islam is the best. So our message is divine. Your message is man-made. You see, today they speak of femicide and all these things. But your laws are like that. You allowed abortion. You allowed escort agencies. You allowed everything that is vice you allowed. So what's the sense of complaining then? You can have conference upon conference. You can have everything. But you have to change the mindset of people. So Islam said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not even go near fornication. The other day, you know, when I go, yeah, masjid there, many times I just switch on the radio. I'll even take the radio's name. So remember, I heard on 702, they said that 60% of the men, meaning now they are men, you know, young men, they are without fathers. So what that means, I'm asking you. What it means? It means that in South Africa, the majority of the children born are illegitimate children. So that's what it means. What else it really mean? So you go to Brazil, you go to other countries, you'll find the same thing. So I'm asking you, how can you have a stable society when your children, majority of them are illegitimate? But you allowing all this. So Islam has taught us a pure and chaste system. But the sad tragedy of it is what? The Muslim of today, the youth and so forth, you and old people also, that they ape and mimic the West and think that that is how you will get honor. They laugh at you and they mock at you. So you must remember that. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when they conquered Palestine, what did he say? نَحْنُ قَوْمُنَ عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people that Allah honored us with Islam. وَمَهْمَا نَطْلُبُ غَيْرَهُ لَأَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. And we seek any ism, any other ism we seek, Allah will humiliate and disgrace us. See the Muslim countries today. So which one got honor, really speaking? The West tramples on them left, right and center because they treat them like puppets. Because everyone almost has left Islam. So in the true sense of the word. So therefore each one of us, you show Islam, practice Islam and become an ambassador of Islam, then see how Allah will give honor and dignity.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Somebody says, Ustad, my husband is having an affair, Mufti Saab, and we have children, Ustad. What should we do?
Yes, it's very sad. Today it's become like a commonplace, you know. And they no more do it in private. They're proud about all these vices of theirs. Because the wife now, they'll say, okay, you want to go, you can go where she will go. That maybe the parents are poor or deceased, the brothers won't take her and so forth. So therefore, those of you, men or women, you're committing this adultery, remember that is punishable by death. 54 Sahaba reported the hadith. And if you want the reference of the 54, all their Mubarak blessed names, go open Takmila Fathil Mulim by Mufti Taqi Usmani Hafidhullah. And second one, you must remember that if you are a person committing fornication, that he did not married, then 100 lashes, Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 2, Fajlidu kulla wahidin minuma miyata jalla. So when you have that, then it will act, you must remember, as a deterrent for people. Yeah, I hear one chap, he's saying that, no, these laws here, yeah, it was from medieval times. And in nowadays, it's not, you can't practice on it, and it's impossible. And people like that are out of the fold of Islam already. Remember that. Any person who rejects the penal code of Islam is out of the fold of Islam. No one does Islam a favor. Always remember that also. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيْهَ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Some people think they're doing Islam a favor. Allah's Nabi was commanded by Allah, say, لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيْهَ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. You do us no favor with your Islam. Nobody does Islam a favor. No one does Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam a favor. No one does Allah jalla wala a favor. Balillahu yamunnu alaykum an hadakum lil iman. Yes, Allah has given you this bounty and favor that He blessed you with iman and Islam. So you must remember, thank Almighty Allah jalla wala for that bounty and favor. So you, my sister, what are your options? So the ayat I quoted is there in Surah Hujurat, verse number 7. 17. Nevertheless, that what are your options? These are your options. Option number one is this, that you apply for a divorce. I don't know if you want to go that route. Second one, he refuses divorce, then you go to your local ulama, the tribunal, whatever, any organization you have confidence in, and you apply for a fasakh, annulment of marriage. That are the options. But my advice to you, because you have children and so forth, rather hang in that marriage, start ta'aleem in your home, Ameen. And inshallah, cry to Allah, tahajjud time. So many a time we saw that the marriage was on the verge of breaking, but the people were sincere, they cried to Allah, and then Allah Ta'ala gave hidayah to the husband or the wife, and now they are happily married. So that is what you should do. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. However, as long as he's having an affair, you should not be sleeping with him. You should not be fulfilling his conjugal rights, because these type of people, they might have AIDS, they might have sexually transmitted diseases, and don't let him come and make you, fill you up with all his immoral activities and so forth and so on. So they have become immoral. They are called khabith. Quran says, Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin. The impure man for the impure woman. Surah 24, verse number 26. So remember, he's impure, the girlfriend, mistress, or whoever he's busy with, so she's impure as well. So that's why they find it attraction to one another. You are tayyiba. So don't allow him to fulfill conjugal rights with you. And that is your Islamic right.
27 minutes to 9. We go inshallah for an interval. When we come back, we will continue inshallah with the Q&A. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
24 minutes to 9. Let's go to the next question. Yes, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Al Ansar International, listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and of course, listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and Company. Ustad, somebody says here, there is no peace in our home. Everyone is just fighting. And one another, Ustad. G.
Remember, this is what secularism is all about. Secularism, in Arabic, they call Al-Almaniya. They have think tanks in all the Arab countries, Muslim countries, and they want all of them to go in that direction. Religion, you must live in your home. Make it a private matter, private issue. So that is the aim, to breed, to promote, advocate a godless society. So that is what the whole thing is all about. Now, again, I told you, juxtapose, compare Islam with the man-made systems, democracy, capitalism, socialism, secularism. You see, all these systems, they say you must worry about your physical body. Islam says you don't worry and concern yourself only with the physical. You worry and concern yourself with the spiritual aspect and dimension as well. So we eat. But what do we eat? Kulu min at-tayyibat. So you must eat that which is pure and wholesome, not only halal. Many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah speaks of tayyib. You eat, consume that which is totally halal and tayyiba. And wa'amalu saliha. That will inspire you to do righteous deeds, input, output. Second one, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. When you make time for tilawat of Quran, you make zikrullah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar. You send salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quran is saying that inna salataka sakanul lahum. When they send salawat and your duas for them, so that will bring sukoon and peace and tranquility for them. So imagine, whatever we do, so that internally it will bring peace, it will bring harmony, serenity. So without that, Quran says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دُنْكَ. When you turn away from my remembrance, you don't want to read Salat, you don't want to read Quran, you don't want to read Salawat, Durood Sharif, then I will make your worldly life a miserable, wretched life. You can be millionaire, billionaire, but your life, you won't find true peace. So imagine, Islam said we must have a balanced lifestyle that is physical as well as spiritual. And every man-made system, they reject the spiritual aspect and only concentrate on the physical. And then the end result, they're committing suicide, they're divorcing one another and going on drugs and alcohol and so many crazy things, because it is a dysfunctional family. So always understand the Islamic system and the beauty of the Islamic system.
So sir, should we practice the kissing of the thumb and forefinger and place on eye on hearing the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu.
You must remember, Allama Sakhawi rahimahullah has mentioned this in Al-Maqasidul Hasana, but he said that this is not authentic. So if a person does it and he says he's doing it with the intention of ilaj, so that Mufti Kifayatullah and them and Kifayatul Mufti and that they wrote is permissible. But remember, it definitely not a sunnah. So we need to be clear on this issue here. Sunnah means you need to prove it from authentic sources. And I gave you the reference. Remember that Allama Sakhawi is a wonderful, wonderful book. Remember that. And of Allama Sakhawi, rahimahullah, call Al-Maqasidul Hasana. In there, he has a scholarly discussion on it.
Listener says 41 yasins for marhums, Ustad. And before reciting them, we must recite 14 Durood Sharif. We'll appreciate your guidance once again, Ustad.
Remember, all these type of things you can never classify as sunnah. 14 times Durood Sharif, 41 times Yasin, and that you can never say it's sunnah. You will say to read Surah Yasin, excellent. It is Qalbul Quran. You read Surah Yasin one time, you get the reward of reciting the entire Quran Sharif 10 times. Hadith in Tirmidhi. You read Surah Yasin, make intention for your disease as well. Iqra Yasin ala mautakum. The hadith on the authority of Ma'aqil bin Yasar radiallahu an, mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. So all that in its place. The point I'm raising is the numbers and the quantity you are stipulating. Before that, 14 times Durood Sharif. Durood Sharif is excellent. But where the 14 came from? So that is what you call amal. Some pious people, some buzruk tried it, it worked. So we say permissible. But once you start elevating it and saying it's sunnah, you must do it like this, compulsory, then it becomes bid'ah and not permissible. You can't take an action that is not compulsory, make it compulsory. You can't take an action that is permissible and may take it to the level of sunnah. That is dangerous. Then it means you are attributing it to Mustafa sallallahu or the Khulafa'i Rashidin and so forth. So therefore, we need to be very careful in that regard. 41 Yasin, from where 41 came? So you must remember, it has no basis. So therefore, for your disease, read Quran Sharif, excellent. Give out charity, make dua. Surah 14, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning and the accountability is established.
Ustad, which name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must I read in times of sadness and depression?
Remember that when people are worried, they got worry, sorry, depression, then read abundantly Surah 21, verse number 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. So Almighty Allah gave guarantee. Wa najjaynahu min al-gham wa kadhalika nunjil mu'mineen. Allah will rescue the believers as well. And when you are feeling sad and fatigued and you don't know what to do, worry, sorry has overtaken you, anxiety, then remember that read Huwa al-Hayyul Qayyum. Al-Hayyul Qayyum is Ismullah al-A'zam. The greatest names of Almighty Allah, ulama have written, is Ismullah al-A'zam. One of the greatest names of Almighty Allah. You read that and Allah will remove the worry and sorry. Similarly, give out charity also. Inshallah, after the Q&A, today the Urdu lecture by Mufti Tariq Masood. So you must remember will be that on this day how to remove the depression and so forth. But that's in Urdu. So you can listen to it between 10 and 11 inshallah.
So Ustad, how do you do ta'alim when you have young children, 4 years old and 2 years old, Ustad?
Yes, you must remember that today the children, that they're doing online schooling and all that. And they're 4 years old and 6 years old and 8, 10 years old. We don't even know how to, the thing works properly. But anyway, so they're so intelligent in all these things. So you tell them that every day we're sitting here. So ta'alim, you can make it interesting. So every day, today we're going to see how many surahs we know. Tomorrow we're going to know how many du'as we know. Third day we're going to go, how many ahadith we know. Fourth day we know how many durood sharifs we know. So you make it interesting, not only you just read from the kitab. So the children must look forward to it. My Nanima, Allah Ta'ala bless her, give her Jannatul Firdaus, she passed away on the 27th night. When she used to come to our place, we used to sit on the floor. And she used to sit there, you know, she was on the bed, she was very ill. And she used to tell us stories of Hazrat Piran Pir, Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hanifa, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi. Some of the stories she told us, till today I can't find reference. But that was not important. What she did, that she took us away from the love of this world and instilled within us the love of Allah, the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of Sahaba, the love of Awliyaullah. You as a mother, you as a father, that's the greatest thing you can do. How come you only worried about the physical side? So tomorrow you leave this world, your son, your daughter can't read one Surah Yasin for you, but they got 10 degrees and 6 degrees. So what good is that, you tell me? Yea, in this lens of ours. You understand? So I know of an incident. So you must remember one person, his father passed away. So what happened is that the son was here and there, and I don't know where and where. So when he passed away, so then they contacted. They say, yeah, man, I'm on holiday, man. I'll come on my own time. You see? But he maybe got 6 degrees, 10 degrees or whatever. Allah alone knows. So I'm asking you, what good are such awlad? This is my own experience I'm telling you. So you must understand that you have to give and instill in your children the responsibility. I can be the greatest technician, the greatest professor, doctor, scientist, whatever. But first, I'm a Muslim. I must know what are the rights. See the satanic system. Yesterday, they said Father's Day, Father's Day. Our Muslims also got no sense, you know. Some people send me messages today, Father's Day. I say, you don't feel ashamed to send me Father's Day message? A father in Islam is he, you look at him one time, you get thawab of Hajj. Sahaba said, we look at him 70 times a day. He said, 70 Hajj Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar. This is the kuffar concept to make us fools and idiots. That you dump your father in the old age home, and then once a year that you make, you remember Father's Day and take a present there. Make one day Mother's Day and dump her in the old age home. And our Muslims are not very far from all this. So I'm asking you, you sons, and even students, when last did you pick up the slippers or the shoes and sandals of your father? When last did you pick up the shoes and sandals of your mother? But our ustad will come, our peer will come, sheikh will come. Oh, then I must go pick up his shoes and I'll get barkat. Your father is greater than all your ustads put together. Your father is greater and mother is greater than all your peers put together. Know, O Muslim, who's a father and who's a mother. So you parents, that is the result of what we have done and instilled in them. We instilled in them poison, and therefore the poison comes back and boomerangs on us. Instill in them Islamic ethos, Islamic ethics, Islamic character, and see what the children will be. They'll become qurrata ayun. Learn all this about Islam, brother. That is the ta'aleem you must start.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Listener says, dear respected Mufti Saab, we heard that non-Muslims are now being allowed free entry in Makkah and Medina. Is it true, Ustad? Is it permissible?
Remember that free entry, all that is not happening. People make a lot of propaganda also. You must remember, you know that there are problems there. One side they have problems with Iran, one side they have problems with other countries. So people will make a lot of propaganda and so forth and so on. If it's happening, so you must remember, it's not like now everybody is just walking in and all that, the way they are making and so forth and so on. So propaganda, fake news, you must always be very careful about it. People send a lot of fake news also around. Second one, that Masjidul Aqsa is happening. But how is it happening at Masjidul Aqsa? So I'll tell you two things about that you should know. You must remember that the settlers are entering Masjid al-Aqsa daily now, and they come with the police. So what the Palestinians can do? They don't have arms, they don't have ammunition. The Zionist apartheid with their Nazi tactics, you must remember. They come, point the guns everywhere, and these settlers walking, desecrating Masjid al-Aqsa. So that is what's happening. Now the apartheid regime of Israel have appointed, you must remember, an ambassador there to UK, that lady, Zipni, whatever her name is. You can check it up, you must remember that. And she already said that we want, listen carefully what I'm saying, we want, meaning the Israeli apartheid regime with the Nazi tactics. So they want the flag of Israel to fly on Masjid al-Aqsa. So they want to take over the whole Aqsa basically, you see. So that is what. Therefore, you must remember that Allah is punishing them from the time of Musa alayhi salam till today and till day of Qiyamah. And this is in Quran Sharif. لَيَبْأَثَنَّ عَلَيْهِمِ لَيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ يَسُومُهُمْ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ. So Surah 7 verse 167, Allah Jalla Wala will continue punishing them. They can change their president, change their prime minister, change their policy, whatever, because they are a people who are committed such crimes. You can see the crimes they are committing. So you must remember that. But because the world is so corrupt, so all this, they pay people off, they have their spies and what have you. So all this continues. So and the Muslims, how many munafiqeen hypocrites are there spying on one another and so forth. So therefore, make special dua for the Haramain Sharifain and make special dua. I sent you the message yesterday, day before yesterday, The enemies of Islam, they said they want to take control of Makkah, Medina, and then they will take out Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, and whip them and lash them. I sent it out to you now, 2-3 days ago, so you can understand all the challenges that are happening. So my brother, you must remember, regarding the Haramain Sharifain, Masjid al-Aqsa, there are huge, huge problems. So daily read 2 rakat salat. Ya Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain from all the enemies, O Allah.
Ustad, it says here that Brother Walter says that dear AK, the Prophet, it says peace be upon him's father was called Abdullah, but he was born and died before the dawn of Islam. How come his name was Abdullah, yet we know in the pre-Islamic era people used to worship idols? Walter, Ustad.
Excellent question, Walter. Therefore, I always encourage you. And this is for all of you, even if you do not belong to the Islamic faith. Ask whatever question you want. No offense will be taken. Then this is an open forum for you. We want to remove all the propaganda, fake news, and we will present to you. You must remember the best information, inshallah, which is correct information, so that you understand the true Islam. Now let us see Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's honorable father Abdullah. That's correct. Honorable mother Amina. Right? So now when you study the lineage of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so it goes up, 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 right up to Abraham, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. And it joins via, before reaching Abraham, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, it goes to Ismail alayhi salam. So that is where all the trouble started. You see, Brother Walter, when you study all the Israelite prophets, then their lineage all went to Isaac, Ishaq. So they were sure that the final messenger will come. So he also will be from the progeny of Isaac, Ishaq alayhi salam. But lo and behold, when he came from Ismail, from, you'll say Ishmael. So Ismail alayhi salam, peace be upon him. So remember, they said, we're going to reject him, Allah forbid, based on jealousy and envy. Now, when Messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was, he is, he will always be the best. So what happens? So we say that the lineage is the best. No one there committed the crime of fornication, adultery, the purest and purest of lineage. So number one, the best of names, Abdullah, Amina. So everything of the messenger has to be best. If it had to be towards idols, then people would say, but you know what, the name is not right. How come? Like you take Abu Lahab. So they had Abdul Uzza and all of them. So the uncles had this type of names. But Allah protected Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protected his lineage, and remember, protected his ancestors, all of them, in the sense that the purest of the pure. I am from the Quraysh, and then I am from this family, and this family, and that. So it shows that this was to protect and preserve the lineage of the Master alayhi salatu wasalam, and therefore the name Abdullah. This is all by divine intervention, my brother Walter.
Somebody says here, Ustad, people collecting for Yemen. What is happening there? And who doing this to Yemen, Ustad?
Again, I told you, you will get 101 people send me messages you can't believe, like, this one is collecting for Yemen, this one is collecting for Syria. Half the time, be rest assured, the money is pocketed. You must remember that. 50% will go, somebody is flying here, somebody is flying there when they could fly, and somebody is busy, administration charges and discharges and all that. So ask the Palestinians how much money really is going to them. Go ask them and they'll tell you. So you must remember, therefore, without fear of contradiction, I say, I'm not saying all, but I say many, many organizations today are abusing all these funds here. In all these cases, you want to help these people, so you rather go to the embassy and go find everything out. In 2000, my brother Yusuf Dokrat, I just resigned from Darul Uloom, and then he came to me. He told me, what you doing? I said, I don't know. I said, we'll see. So he said, you come to me. So he said, okay, come, let's go whichever country you want to go. So I said, let's go America. He said, fine. I said, Canada. He said, fine. So I said, this country, fine. So we went, London, here, and then America, Canada, yeah, there, two of us alone. He told me one thing. He said, I must go Yemen. So I said, what you want to do in Yemen? They said, no, I passed by there for Hajj and a lot of poverty. I want to do charity. I told him, Yusuf, we can't do that. We have to contact the embassy. So we went to embassy. We had a big meeting with the Mr. Ambassador at that time in 2000. And he told us what to do, all these type of things there. So go through them, rather you safer. So you know what to do and all these type of things there. Otherwise, there's too many people on the pipeline. You know, half the money gets finished before it reaches the poor people. Then, mashallah, we went for Umrah and so forth and we came back. What I'm trying to tell you is this, that get people who you rely, you know there are people who are reliable. When they go, then you know the money is there with them. They put in their own money also, not people's zakat money also. Then you give such people money.
Somebody says, it's true that if one consumes alcohol, Ustad, then one's deeds are not accepted for 40 days.
The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, man sharib al-khamra lam yakbalillahu salatan arba'a, man sharib al-khamra lam yakbalillahu lahu salatan arba'ina sabaha, that whosoever drinks the alcohol, Allah forbid, or drugs and all that comes in, intoxicants, then for 40 days his salat will not be accepted. It don't mean that you mustn't read salat for 40 days. It means that you must read more salat and beg Allah for forgiveness, because in Islam ma askara kathiruhu faqaleeluhu haram, that remember that one drop of alcohol is totally haram. So you must make sincere tawbah, beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness, and the salat you read will be valid, but the reward will be decreased. So that is the meaning of it. When Islam wants to prevent something, Islam wants me and you to abhor it and detest it as well.
Ustad, in our area, due to high crime rate, we created a WhatsApp group for men only to create awareness and share information related to security. So the question is, Ustad, a new application called Telegram was introduced and we all migrated to it, which allows more group members. Women from the area were added to the group, Ustad. Is this permissible, Ustad?
If it is for security purposes, so you tell them they must include with them their husband or their brother or father or son or whoever. So there's no hanky-panky business going on and so forth. So for security reasons, it's fine. There's no problem with that.
Somebody says, Ustad, now this is from Johannesburg, talaq under the influence of drugs and in anger, Ustad, is it accepted? He was not in his frame of mind, Ustad.
All these people who give talaq and then they send me letters and all that and emails and WhatsApp, they say, no, it happened in anger. So I asked him, brother, you ever heard of a person while making love to his wife, he gave talaq? So they just look for excuses. Another one they will use, they say, no, that he gave talaq, he admits, but they say it was under jadu. You see, somebody made jadu, sihar, witchcraft. So I said, bye, when you went to your shop, to your job, and you were driving, all that, then there was no jadu, no sihar. Only time sihar got hold of you is when you gave talaq and so forth. And third one, now they say, no, I was drunk, he was drunk, intoxicated and all that. So 100% the talaq will take place. So in anger it will take place, in your jadu story it will take place, in your alcohol it will take place. All those feeble excuses are not valid. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, always study Fatawa'i Umar, Qazaya'i Umar, these books written on it. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say, all these chaps who give three talaqs one time, bring them to me. La'uja'atuhu. The fatwa of Sayyidina Umar is mentioned in Sunan Sa'id bin Mansur. Bring them to me, I will whip them and lash them myself.
Allahu Akbar. Ustaz, what is the difference between lillah and sadaqah?
Lillah is you build masjid, you give this, you give rich people, poor people, anything that is permissible, anybody, any cause that's permissible. Sadaqah normally is for poor people, Muslim or non-Muslim. Then sadaqatul fitr and zakat and all that is for Muslim only, poor Muslims only.
Somebody says, can one make dua for one's pet for a long healthy life? Example, Ustaz, birds.
So you must remember, you mustn't make dua like that. You must remember, so long healthy life, then he can't fly and he becomes a burden. Ya Allah, give this pet so long life as long as it's khair for it. Always use the word khair. So Ya Allah, as long as there's goodness for this bird, so keep it alive like that. Yesterday a person sent me a message. He said that he had a nice cat and what have you. Then the dog came and bit it and us and all this type of thing. What must I do? I said, now now finish. You must remember, take it to SPCA or to whoever does it, and the vet or whatever. And mashallah, they can just put it to sleep. And you know, euthanasia, mercy killing in animals, totally permissible. There's no problem with that. So don't make that he must have such a long life like Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, you know. So you must remember that. That's not permissible.
Ustad, the rulings regarding the playing of the daf in Islam, Ustad?
So you must remember that the daf is permissible only on certain occasions. For example, now the Mujahideen are victorious, and then you play the daf because the Muslims won. Or for example, is Walima, then you play the daf. Or for example, is Nikah then. But today they don't play daf. Today you must remember, they make it seem like the daf. But you see, they play computer games, they play computer music, they play other music, all that is totally haram. Musical instruments, all are haram. The one exception, according to some ulama also, not all ulama, according to some ulama is the daf. And if you want a wonderful academic discussion regarding music, musical instruments, in Arabic, tahreemu alati tarb. Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, Sheikh Nasruddin, he gave me this kitab, a person. So you know, when I met him there in Jordan, in Amman, so excellent masterpiece of a book. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, we met him also, he passed away in 1976. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah wrote the book Islam or Musiki, so excellent book that is also. For those of you who don't know Arabic, Urdu, the best book for you is a masterpiece, very good, and that is called Slippery Stone by Khalid Beg, B-A-I-G, Khalid, K-H-A-L-I-D, and Beg, B-A-I-G. So read that book, Slippery Stone. So all this, what's going on today, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, and what is all haram, not permissible.
9 o'clock, we go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the Q&A. Stay tuned.